You're listening to the Master Passive Income Podcast Network. Welcome to the Master Passive Income Show. My name is Dustin Heiner, and I'm here to help you get financial independence, quit that J-O-B, that just overbroke job, by investing in real estate. And in today's show, I'm bringing on an investor who is investing in his hometown. He's going to show us how he is buying great properties in his own hometown and getting amazing cash flow, and also show us how we can do it as well. All right, let's start the show.
Welcome to the Master Passive Income Podcast, where we talk about investing in real estate with a special focus on making enough money so you can quit your job and live the dream life. And now, here is your host, Dustin Heiner.
Hey, hey, what's up? Super blessed as always to have you here with me on the show. Now, there is so much going on in the economy, in the job market, as well as the interest rates. There's so many things going on. And where do we start? Because I want to walk you through just a little bit of what I'm seeing and to let you know. And the reason why I tell you this, and even though I'm excited right now that things are going to kind of change, at least it looks like it, which I'll get to in just a second. But it's going to be an amazing buying opportunity for us as real estate investors. Trust me, we are entering the best ever time to invest in real estate. Now, if you started investing back in 2009 and 10 and 11, that was amazing times. Properties were just fire sell. You could buy them and make a lot of cash flow. I don't know if it's going to be as good as that, but I think something coming soon is going to be very, very similar, where we're going to get some great prices. Now, there's a couple things to touch on. Number one, I think it is absolutely a terrible idea for Trump to say we should get a 50-year mortgage. The reason why I jump right in this, because I put a reel out recently on Instagram where I talk about the 50-year mortgage. You can follow me, the T-H-E, Dustin Heiner. And no, I'm not the arrogant to be the only, the Dustin Heiner. It's the only handle I can come up with. But I put a lot of different reels out there talking about lots of great things that really will hopefully help you to see what's going on in the market from what I see. You know, this podcast is once a week. Instagram, I post sometimes even two or three times a day, let alone, you know, once a week. Okay, I posted recently, and I'll tell you about the 50-year mortgage is a terrible idea. Now, Trump brought the idea up. Well, when you think about the longer the term is for your mortgage, a 50-year term, that means you're basically paying triple the amount of the cost of the home to the bank. So you're just making banks richer. Now, here's an amazing, irritating thing. Some people are very nearsighted and they'll say, well, Dustin, that'll make it so that the mortgage payment is lower. Well, that's so nearsighted. Yes, of course, your mortgage payment is going to be lower. But in the end, two bad things are going to happen. Number one, we're going to be paying two times the amount. Right now, if a 30-year mortgage, let's say you buy it for $150,000, more than likely you're about $320,000 in total that you're going to be paying the banks. That's giving them money. You're paying double. But with a 50-year loan, you're going to be paying three times as much. So that's number one. You're going to be paying three times as much. And you're, I mean, 50 years. If you get a house when you're 50 years old, you're going to not pay it off till you're 100 and you're going to give your kids debt. That's number one. But number two, here's the worst part about it. Worst part about it is people are going to think, oh, I can buy a much bigger home or more expensive home because my payment is lower. Well, in return, what's going to happen? Prices of properties are going to go higher because people are going to be thinking, and here's the big thing. Competition for properties are from homeowners, not other investors. Us investors, we try to buy it for less than it's worth. Homeowners, they're going to overpay for the property and they're going to fall in love with it and they're not going to want to let it go. So they're going to overbid. That's what happened in 2020, 2021, 2022, and so on. You saw prices just keep skyrocketing because people were falling in love and saying, oh, I really got to buy this house. Well, what's going to happen too? Because instead of, let's say, a $2,500 a month mortgage that you buy, let's say, a $350,000 house, well, at the same $2,500 a month mortgage, they'll buy a $400,000 house because it's paid off over a longer period of time, but it's the same mortgage payment. Hopefully you're tracking with that with a higher amount of, or the term being longer, 50 years, you're paying double or triple, sorry, you're paying triple to the bank, and then prices are going to go up. And here's another amazing thing that's going on right now that I wouldn't really want to share, like really, really wanted to share with you. And another crazy thing that's going on right now is we are seeing layoffs all the time in the job market. I mean, it's amazing. And I'm reading right now, Amazon just laid off, I think, 1,800 employees. In fact, right now, there are so many companies that are laying off people. Yeah, I pulled it up right now. So I'm on USA Today. Amazon in October just laid off. Wow, never mind. I was totally off. It says an overall reduction in the corporate workforce of approximately 14,000 roles. 14,000, not 1,400. I was really off. Oh my goodness. Okay. So it says Amazon had about 1.5 million full-time and part-time employees, according to its annual report. Its corporate workforce includes 350,000 employees. That's the corporate. But they're laying off 14,000 jobs. Wow. Okay. ConocoPhillips is reporting that pretty soon they're going to reduce their workforce by 20 to 25%. That is a lot of people. Chevron's going to be dropping 20%. BP, another oil company, is 5%. General Motors, they are reducing 1,200 factory jobs. Oh my goodness. Paramount, the movie company, 1,600 jobs laid off. Target, 1,800 corporate jobs. And this is November. This is reporting in November. UPS, 48,000 jobs that they're going to be cutting. Oh my goodness. I'm just reading this right now. I'm like, I didn't think it was this bad, but now I'm looking at it's even worse. Verizon, we're having 13,000 employees will be laid off due to cost structure limits is what it's called. Oh, wow. That's just one article. I know there are others. And so here's a crazy thing. People are saying, well, Dustin, interest rates are probably going to go down, which you've seen the interest rates, maybe you have. I've seen the interest rates. They've been dropping quite a bit. But then also recently, the Federal Reserve chairman said that he's not going to lower rates in December, but they might. They might or they might not. Now, people are saying with lower rates, then people are going to be able to buy homes. They're not realizing, you need to not be, I'm not saying you are. I'm just saying we need to be farsighted. Like, let's look further down the line, not be nearsighted. Just interest rates are down, then people can buy a bigger house. Well, let's also think a little more big picture. What if they don't have a job? If they don't have a job, are they going to be able to afford a mortgage? Will a bank give that person, that homeowner, money to be able to buy a house? No, they will not. So it's looking like there are some alarm bells. So interest rates coming down is interesting to see that, because with the inflation, that's why it went up. The interest rates went up because of inflation. Now they're dropping it down, but they're also seeing inflation. So crazy what's going on. But here's another amazing thing. Well, I've talked to you guys a lot about this before, or not a lot. At least you might have heard. I am absolutely terrible at stock investing. I buy high and sell low, which is the opposite of what you want to do. You want to buy low and sell high. Well, even when I think, okay, Dustin, you would normally sell right now, so how about you buy more? No, that's still the wrong thing. Like, if I try to go contrary to what I would normally do, it's still the wrong thing. I am terrible with the stock market, so I'm glad you don't listen to me for stocks. But what I'm seeing right now, too, is I'm just watching the stock market. I just watch what happens. I can't tell what's going to happen. I could just say this happened, already happened. And so last week, oh my goodness, I call it a bloodbath. But basically, stock market was just dropping tremendously. And then now in Thanksgiving week, getting towards the weekend, Monday, the stock market's going up. It's going up now. It's not fixing what happened on, Thursday and Friday, but it is going up. And it seems like it's a buy the dip mentality, which means people come in and say, oh, wow, it's dropped. Let's buy some more. But honestly, with all these layoffs, and this is just a fraction, what I talked to you about earlier, a fraction of these layoffs, you're also seeing interest rates fluctuate. It might go back up. We're seeing prices of homes come down. We're also seeing inflation, like people have less money in general to buy things. this is why I'm telling you this, is you need to be excited. You need to be excited because if you've, I know you've been listening to me every single week for at least, you know, maybe a year, 2 years or more. I've been doing this podcast since 2016, and I have people listening and going back and binging all 400 plus episodes of this podcast. And I've been telling you for a long time, be ready. You need to have access to capital. You need to have access to the ability to borrow money or get other people to invest in your deals. In fact, I just bought a 94-unit apartment complex here near Nashville, where I live, about 5 minutes away from where I live. Fantastic property. Sellers are distressed, meaning they need to sell it really, really fast. So we had to close in 30 days. So we closed really, really quick, raised $4 million. Purchase price is about $9 million, and we're going to be fixing it up. But it was 60% occupied, 60%. They're terrible at apartment business or, you know, multifamily real estate. And so they cannot pay their loan and the loan's coming due. So we're coming in to buy it. We're buying it for about $100,000 a unit. And we can literally go back and sell it for $130,000 a unit once we get it all fixed up. So it's an meaning like it's instead of 60% rented, occupancy is 40%. We want to get it up to where it's like 95% rented and cash flowing, then it's going to be worth $135,000, $140,000 per unit. I'm just seeing in the real estate market so many great opportunities. In fact, my students are buying properties all the time. And that's why I'm bringing on one of my students. Jake is a fantastic student. He really said, man, I really want to invest in real estate. Started coaching here with me at Master Passive Income. And now he's here on the show to share with you how you can invest in real estate just like he does. Well, you are awesome. I'm so pumped and blessed to have you here with me every single week. Thank you so much. Let's jump into today's show where I interview Jake. He's going to show us how he invests in real estate and how you can as well. Here we go. Jake, thank you so much for being on the show, man.
Thanks, Dustin. I appreciate you having me.
And this is so cool. So, well, first, I want to ask, how did you find Master Passive Income? Because a lot of people find me and us through the podcast. And now you're on the podcast, which is so fun.
Yeah. So actually back in 2020, you know, as a lot of us had a lot of time to really think and reflect, you know, I started getting into day trading and trying that, you know, after making some money and losing some money, I realized that it was really difficult to do with a full-time job. And I started reading more and more books like Rich Dad, Poor Dad and Richest Man in Babylon, Think and Grow Rich. And it kind of opened up my eyes to real estate. And then ended up just stumbling upon your podcast. I think it was maybe Spotify or something. Yeah. And then I started listening to your videos and I really liked how you were just really down to earth and you're really just truly out there trying to help people. And, you know, I figured why not give this a shot? It seems like it would be a lot easier than, you know, day trading was for me. So
I agree. I actually lose lots of money day trading. Like I literally lose money. So I don't do any of that stuff. I tried it. And I just found what moves the slowest is real estate. What makes me the most money is real estate. What I do the least amount of work is in real estate. And then you and I, you came to RubeCon this last year. And that was fun to be able to hang out with you and really see that like normal everyday people, regular people can do this. So this is fantastic. And with that, you started with the membership that we have with the coaching and everything, and you started getting success. Talk to us about what really got you, you know, because you want to invest, you were looking at day trading. What made you really make that shift into saying, I want to invest in real estate and I can do it and let me start moving forward with it?
Yeah, I think for me, the biggest thing was I felt like I didn't have a ton of control, like just working a 9-to-5 job. You don't have that much control over your income or your time. And, you know, I really wanted to take advantage of being young and starting off right and really reading all those books and everything and like listening to your podcast. That kind of opened my eyes to like, you know, it's really achievable to build a bigger life and, you know, a lot faster than I thought. You know, you don't have to have a ton of money to get started or anything like that. You know, so I just started looking at ways that I could get started with what resources I had and what knowledge I had. And my parents, I knew that they had like flipped houses before and were involved in real estate. So I knew I could lean on them for advice and stuff too. And yeah, just, you know, I really wanted to give it a shot because I felt like the numbers were there and I really liked how you could control the equity when you buy the property, how you can control the cash flow. And you can really, you know, the numbers going into an investment ahead of time. So I really like that aspect of it.
That's great. And knowing the expenses going into it, knowing the income that you should hopefully be able to get because you have the right people in your business, because, you know, we always build the business first so that other people do the work for us. Okay, so talk to me about your getting your first property. Would you mind sharing where it was or it is? The specifics of it, you know, like if you are okay to share how much you bought it for, if you captured any equity in that and passive income that you're making from it.
Yeah, sure. I love talking about the numbers, but this property, my first property was in Lansing, Michigan. And I'd been looking, I live in Battle Creek. So I've been looking in Battle Creek and Kalamazoo and Lansing. You know, I only had about $25,000 that I could use to invest. Just, you know, my wife and I have saved up and from a small loan from my 401k. So I kind of had an idea of, you know, if I had to put 20% down and had to do a little bit of renovation and stuff, what my numbers would be. Properties in Lansing were relatively inexpensive for the amount that I could get for rent. So even though it was like 45-minute drive for me, I still felt like it was a good investment. But the first property I found, it was listed at, I think, $92,000. And I offered $81,000. They countered with $85,000 and I accepted. Houses in the neighborhood fixed up were probably going for maybe like $120,000, $130,000. So this one needed a little bit of work. And I probably put maybe, $7,000, $8,000 into it, just between flooring, carpet, paint, redoing the porch columns and the porch railing. Then like appliances and stuff like that. So it really wasn't too bad. And all my expenses on that property, I think, are around $920. And that's with a property manager. And right now it's renting out for $1,400 a month.
Whoa, that is so awesome. Good for you, Jacob. You got more numbers I know you share. So property management, taxes and stuff like that, everything's all included. And then how much equity did you capture?
So I think I haven't refinanced it yet, but I was hoping to refinance it this year, probably right after I close on my next one. I'll probably start that process. I'm hoping if it appraises for 130, if they're able to do 80% of that, you know, I'll be able to pull out maybe 20 to 30,000 again. So I should be able to pull out most of my money back out of the deal and then use that to buy another property.
You have $500 a month in passive income. That is fantastic. And you're going to have, you do have equity in the property that you're going to be able to pull money out to buy your next property. Man, this sounds like, this is not, I mean, when we look at baseball terms for investing in real estate, we usually think, okay, a single, you get $250 a month in passive income. You capture maybe $5,000-$10,000 in equity, you can refinance it. It seems like this is at least a double, if not a triple, like in baseball terms. Like it could be even a home run if you are able to finish it out, pull that cash back out to buy the next property, and then you have literally, in my opinion, a home run. So that is phenomenal. What are your thoughts about that process, and what did you learn throughout the entire process?
It was more challenging than I thought it was, and more stressful. And you know, more so it was just because of the stress that other people put on me. And it was just kind of the feeling of doubt. And, you know, when I didn't have many people to rely on to do it the right way. And I'd heard tons and tons of stories about how people invested in real estate the wrong way and got burned. And I just wanted to really make sure that I was safeguarding myself against all those. So, you know, I really wanted to find a property that I knew was in a good area and that was I was buying at a good value. So that way I had an exit strategy if I needed to, if I wanted to get out. And that was really important for me. So it took longer to find the property and to settle on something that I really liked. But all in all, I think it being more secure, or I guess more cautious, made me get a better investment, I think.
I 100% agree. In fact, I don't like taking risks. And I want to pause for a quick second and share that, honestly, I really want you to invest in real estate. Now, my new goal is to help 1 million people invest in real estate. So two things I would ask from you. Number one, if you get anything out of this episode, please share it with somebody else. Just say, hey, you know, check out Dustin at Master Passive Income. He really wants to help 1 million people to invest in real estate. That's number one. Number two, I want to get you to invest in real estate. Get my real estate investing course absolutely for free. Text the word rental, REN, RENTAL to 33777. Rental to 33777. I'll literally give you my course, show you how to find an area of the country to invest, how to build the business first. You know, I always talk about that, and how to find the right properties, how to make sure you're getting experts to do the work for you, and scale the business to where you're making $250 or more in passive income. Scale it to quit your job. I'll literally get to you, or go to masterpassiveincome.com/free course. Obviously, it'll be in the description, but I really, really want you to invest in real estate, because the more that actual, normal, everyday people own real estate that are good landlords, the better everybody's life gets. A lot of people say, oh, it's risky to invest in real estate. That, well, in my opinion, it's actually not risky, because if you know your business, if you know how to make money when you're investing, or any business in general, if you know your business, you're not necessarily taking a risk. Now, there are risks, but in my opinion, it's so much more risky working for somebody else who could literally take away your job in 2 seconds. Just like if you were thinking about in the business idea, if you're going to buy a candy bar for $1 and you have the most you can sell it for is 75 cents, well, you'd lose money. You know, you buy it for $1, sell it for 75 cents, you'd lose 25 cents. Why would you do that business? That's risky, because you're hoping, it's just not going to work. But what we do is we make sure that we're making money because it's a business that we're creating, and our inventory is the properties. So this is fantastic. Now, when you say it was harder, was it because finding the right contractors, you know, harder than you thought, the right contractors, right people doing the work, maybe getting lining up the financing? What was it harder? And then how did you overcome
it? I think
that?
For me, the most difficult part is probably the financing. I was trying really hard to find somebody who would do, you know, below 20% down. So I really wanted to try to save as much money as I could. And I found a couple different options. One was like a hard money lender, and that was 10% down, but they'd cover the rehab. I ended up taking your advice, and you told me there were some lenders, and I think you mentioned a couple that were able to do a conventional 15% down. And so that saved me a lot in closing costs and interest only payments. Just, you know, it cost me a tiny bit more upfront maybe, but it was definitely worth it. Finding the right lender and then going through that whole process of due diligence and stuff on their end, it just, it was a little more stressful than I thought, trying to manage phone calls and stuff at work and trying to set that up. But, you know, just every day on my lunch break, I'd be talking to somebody, or I'd be looking at properties, you know, ahead of time. So yeah, just juggling all that was a little bit more than I thought. But now that I've done it, you know, already know all these different connections that I can use and all these tools. And it just made it so much easier to get the next one.
When you build the business, you get the right people inside the business working for you. And it's just, let me get another one and have you do the work. Now, you're right. And for everybody, it's always the hardest to build that business to get the right people. Because some people you might think is right, they let you down, or they just, something, life comes up and they can't do it, or whatever it might be. Once you actually have that team, and then you do everything like you have, now you successfully have a property making you money and passive income. I mean, $400 a month, that's absolutely amazing. What does that come out to? $4,800 a year in passive income. And this is just a start. Rents will go up. Imagine 10 years from now, it'll probably be at $1,500, $1,600 a month in passive income, maybe even $1,700, if not more. And you're just gonna be making that much more money. So that is terrific. And then you're 100% right. And so what we do with all of our students, and obviously you're a part of the community that we have. And so what I love to do is just share with you guys what I do in my business, the contacts, you know, like the financing companies, the property manager, I share that. But then also what's so great, other students just like you, and you know this, I'm just saying this for everybody listening, other students just like you they've already done it, build their businesses, find the right context, and we bring them all together. Like say, meaning, hey, who did you use for property manager in what city? They'll tell, like the students say, in this city, I'm using this property manager. I'm like, great, let's make a list so we can give it to everybody else so that we can help each other out. Same thing with financing. I have a laundry list of different financing companies that the students can use to call them up that have already done good for our other students. So talk to me about having a community of other people, and obviously coming to RubeCon, be a part of that community, but also the Master Passive Income community, and having other people, and especially somebody like Charles, who's been through this. He's helped, so like knowledgeable. He's coaching now. And then myself walking you through the process and giving you the steps. Talk to me about that process to help you get over hurdles and roadblocks and things like that.
Yeah, I think just being able to bounce ideas off of people, and you can even talk to people about like your very specific situation. And I think that that's definitely a huge benefit, because everybody has like a little bit different circumstances, and they know, you know, generally like what the ideal scenario is, but it doesn't work like that for everybody. So yeah, it definitely helps, even just listening to how other people handle situations that I haven't come across. You know, it just plants a seed in your mind, so you know ahead of time, you know, what to look out for. And, you know, it's been really cool too, to see, you know, some of the students. I think you had Josh on here and everything. I think when I first talked to him, RubeCon, I think he maybe only had like one property or two at the time. And now I think he has four or five.
If I remember, Josh didn't have any. I could be wrong, but I could have swore he didn't have any. And he, right at RubeCon, he's like, I'm going to do it. And now he's got, like you said, four or five properties. And it's getting the momentum from other people, like getting their energy and their wins, and realizing,
yeah,
I could do this.
Yeah, definitely. It pushes me to work faster and work harder and do that too. And just being able to be a part of a community too. You know, it's hard to find other people who are doing this, and even at a larger scale. You know, there's lots of people that might have one property that they rent to family or something, but not many people that do it as a business and that do it really successfully. So it's really nice being able to talk to people who have, you know, been through what you're going to go through, and who have done it the right way and know how to protect themselves. So it definitely is a huge help, and definitely a big motivator too.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. And one thing I would love to do when we get on the group coaching calls is start with the wins. You know, what wins do people have? And it's not, I mean, of course, a huge win is getting your first property, and that's great. That's a huge, amazing win. But there's so many little wins along the way, everything from starting your LLC, getting your EIN number, starting your bank account, finding the city to invest in, finding a right property manager, contractors. Like, there's so many little wins along the way. And as we get reminded that every step is another step towards the end goal, right? If you're running a race, you got to start. And every single step is going to get you closer to that goal. Now, talk to me about, now that you've done it one time, and now it's trying to scale to where you're going to continually buy properties. Talk to me about your vision of what you're going to do. Now, you have one property. You have multiple, or is it you have one, and now you're going to get to the next one?
Yeah, I was hoping to be able to close on my next property last week, but it got pushed out. So I should be closing on that one tomorrow. But that one would be...
Oh, that's so awesome. So definitely before RubeCon, you're going to have your second property. That's so cool. Well, quickly, before we get to like the scaling, when you got your first property, was it that much easier to get your second property? I mean, the first property is usually really, really hard. The second property, once we've done all the work, the second property comes so much faster. Like most students, within 2 or 3 months, it's always already the second property.
You know, having everything already set up and knowing the process, you know, I already had the documents I needed ready for my lender. I already knew what my closing costs were going to look like. I already had multiple lenders lined up that I could use. And even a property manager. The second property I'm closing on tomorrow, it's literally like a 2-minute walk down the road. So I already know the area is great. I know my property manager said, hey, this one's, you know, a 4-bedroom as opposed to a 3-bedroom. So it might even be able to rent for more, you know, and just already knowing what the numbers are going to be like, and what the renovation costs and timeline is going to look like. It made it to where all I needed to do was just find the next property. And then everything else just kind of fell right in place. I guess the only thing that was a little bit more challenging was, so going the conventional route, my bank, you know, they look at your debt to income ratio. And unfortunately, I got my first property rented just a little bit too late, so I wasn't able to show that on my tax return. So they weren't able to use the income from that property, just the debt. And so that kind of hurt me a little bit, but I was able to get a co-signer with my dad. And so he was able to help with that. And that brought my debt to income down to where I was able to get the next property with a conventional loan.
I love it. And if anybody has a parent that would do that with them, and Lord willing, I'm going to be doing that for my children, not just necessary co-signing, but obviously helping them along the way and teaching them how to do it. But then if I need a co-sign, absolutely. In fact, my kids, I'm not going to pay for college for them, because I'm like, let's say I spend 80 grand on them going to college. Like, that's a house I could buy and then make you money. And then you save that money, buy another one, and then we keep doing it. And eventually, you don't even need to have to ever have gone to college. Like, I will definitely teach them how to make money better than any college or university would. And at the same time, being a good, you know, person of society and all that good stuff. And my kids are coming to RubeCon, and the two older ones are going to be helping at RubeCon because that's what my vision is. We homeschool. In fact, let me say it the better way. I have the easy job of making money. My wife has a hard job of homeschooling the kids. But now when it comes to business, they're along with me and I'm showing them every single step of the way. And so I'm really glad to meet your dad at RubeCon. And that's so awesome that he did that to help you to get over that because he sees the business model. You're already proven it once and now being able to do it again. Now, there is another thing that in our students, student success area where we have the financing, there are companies now that I'm really grabbing onto and bring them in, and they do DSCR loans, debt service coverage ratio loans, which offline, we could definitely talk about this, but those are fantastic because they're not on your credit. They're on the property. How well is a property going to do? And so I don't know how long those will be around, so we got to take advantage of them as much as we can. But once you get into a conventional 30-year fixed, you know your expenses are accounted for. Your rents just go up. Your expenses stay fixed. So that is super awesome. Now, talk to me about scaling. Now, moving forward to getting your next property and the next property, what's your vision for the next, let's say, 2 or 3 years?
Yeah, so I kind of have, when I first started, I set a couple goals for myself. And it's kind of funny how closely reality aligned with those goals. The first goal I set for the first property was to close by July 1st and ended up closing on that on August 2nd of last year. So I missed it a little bit, but but just having those goals, psychologically, when you get closer to that deadline, it makes you work harder to try to achieve that. And my next goal was to get my second property by RubeCon. And, I'll barely make that one just by a couple of weeks. So moving forward to scale up, I think I'm definitely going to go the DSCR loan route. And I know of a couple lenders, but I haven't started talking to them yet. I was just going to focus on trying to get this next property renovated as quick as I can and get it rented. Definitely that's what I plan on moving forward. And my goal for this year is to get one more property. So I hope to have three by the end of this year. And then I think a realistic route, if I keep going to where like I do the rehab myself, I could do 2 or 3 per year. And then I'd be able to hit my goal of retire when I'm 33 of, 10 or 12 properties, if I can keep getting the cash flow that I can get. And then, from there, I'll probably just work one more year at my job and then put in my 2 weeks.
I did the same thing. So you're 28 now, and by 5 years, hopefully be able to be successfully unemployed and be able to provide for yourself and your family without working a job. And so I did it when I was 37. And so I started at 27 into 28, 27, 28 years old. And then 37 was when I finally was able to do it. It was honestly, when I was 35, I had enough. I was just nervous because I didn't have anybody like me telling me like, hey, you could do it and all that sort of stuff and giving me, insights on what to do and go. But what's great is even if I would have quit then, you still are going to beat me in being able to, Lord willing, if you're able, step by step. And what's great too, like Charles and William, who are now coaches at Master Passive Income, they're students that have become coaches because they've done so phenomenally well and they love giving and they love serving, that they are quitting so much faster than I did. And on top of that, their students are doing so much better than they did. So it's just amazing seeing this just continually helping people. Now, talk to me about RubeCon a little bit. And you came, I was really blessed that you came and be a part of it. Like you took a chance and said, let me just try it. I'm going to fly all the way up to Phoenix and take a part. You took a chance. And it was, I learned a ton. It was great hanging out with you and lots of other people. And then 2023, we're doing it again. Talk to me about your experience at RubeCon.
Yeah. So for me, I probably had a little bit different experience than a lot of people. But I ended up, it was the first time I'd ever like flown by myself. And the previous year was the first time I flew ever. It was with my wife on our honeymoon to Florida. So it was like my second time flying on a plane, and here I am flying out of Chicago O'Hare, and which was actually pretty smooth. But, you know, for me, ended up booking like some of the only flights available. So I booked a little bit later. So I ended up having to, you know, leave at 2 a.m. to drive to Chicago Airport and then fly to Phoenix and all that. So all that was probably more stress than I probably should have put on myself. But yeah, once I was there, you know, it was really just it was a cool experience for me, because I could just really just get as involved as I wanted, and just being able to have the freedom of, you know, being able to go up and talk to like, hey, this investor does multifamily syndications, and, you know, just being in the same room with like-minded people, it was just really a good experience. And all of the speakers there were phenomenal, and they were super friendly and really down to earth, and they wanted to give out their information and knowledge and share their experiences with everybody. And, you know, like you said, it wasn't a sales pitch at all. It was literally just a community getting together and sharing and helping other people grow.
I love it, man. And it's going to be great to have you here with us again, and your dad as well. And so you're going to get another book, one of my books. I love giving it out. So I'm going to give it out to all the attendees, my book again. So I know you probably already read it, but you already have a copy because you came last year. Go ahead and give it out to other people. Just literally, you know, we want to get this message out. And you remember last year I unveiled my new goal in my life. And it's going to take forever literally my entire life to do this. But my goal is to help 1 million people to invest in real estate and hopefully become financially independent. Rubicon is just another way of being able to do that and reaching more people. So, man, Jacob, this is just awesome. I really appreciate you growing and building your business and seeing you succeed. This is so fantastic. I really appreciate it. Do you have anything else, like any other lessons learned, any other insights that happened that you would be able to share with us so that when we're doing it, we could either learn from it and not do whatever it is like you did?
Yeah, I would say definitely the biggest thing is, you know, don't, like, you know, one thing you say all the time is, when's the best time to plant a tree? You know, it was 20 years ago, but the next best time is today. You know, and I love that, because you really just, people will, and I know it's because I'm trying to get my friends to invest in real estate too. You know, they, there's a million and one excuses why you can't do it or why you should wait, you know, but honestly, this is something that, you know, you do it once, you get it out of the way, and it pays you back. You know, you're planting the seeds for, you know, a bigger, better life. You know, so if I knew what I knew now when I was younger, I wouldn't have went to college. It helps in some ways, but, you know, I wouldn't have wasted the time. I would have went straight into this. And by now, I would definitely already be financially independent. No, especially if I had a resource like your group, or, you know, there's just so much information out there that, you know, it's hard not to be successful if you just listen to the experts.
And what I love about you is also you took action. You said, I'm going to do it. And even though like other things didn't, like, let's say day trading or whatever it might, but you took action and you move forward, because that's where people get stuck, is they get fearful. Well, for me, I was fearful, and then I got laid off from my job, and I realized I can't let that stop me. It's so much more risky working for somebody else as opposed to putting my life in my own hands. And now, looking back, praise the Lord, I did that. Now I literally have all of my life back to build my own businesses. Now I literally have four businesses that make me money to then buy more real estate. So it's a huge blessing. Now, Jake, thank you so much for being on the show. I want to wrap it up because I want to respect your time, and looking forward to seeing you at Rubicon. So it's been fantastic having you part of the group, a part of the conference. You're just a great person to have around. All of us, like, we're a community, and we all come together. Just like you said, the speakers at Rubicon, they're all genuine. They're all nice people. Basically, they're my friends. I wouldn't invite them if they were not that fit, you know, like us, like just normal everyday people that want to be helpful. So, Jake, thank you so much for being on the show, man. I really appreciate you.
Yeah, thank you so much, Justin.
And that is it for today. Go ahead and get my free real estate investing course. Text the word rental to 33777. R-E-N-T-A-L to 33777. You can also join my Real Estate Wealth Builders group coaching. Get all my courses. All right, guys, we'll see you in the next show. See ya.